The Wellness Revolution starts now.
Well, hello. Welcome to Dr. Hotze's Wellness Revolution. Today, we are joined by Dr. William Davis, who is a prolific author, and he's author of the bestseller Wheat Belly, which many of you have read. It's a very popular, very helpful, and there's been some associated books with that, the Wheat Belly Cookbook and Wheat Belly Total Health. And there's also been, he wrote Undoctored. His most recent book, Super Gut, is going to be the focus of our conversation today. And I'm very much looking forward to discussing this very important tool. Welcome so much, Dr. Davis, to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, and I know you've been getting the word out. I think you wrote the book a couple of years ago, and I've seen that you're more and more people are aware of this. And I actually found out how important this was from one of our guests. We call the folks we see guests, and she was sharing how wonderful she felt. And last time I saw her, in fact, the past several times, she had not felt well. And I was like, well, what are you doing differently? And it was the SIBO yogurt and applying your principles outlined in your book. And if I was going to summarize, I like to try to put important concepts in one sentence. And how does this work? One of the main ideas of your book is that we have some important organisms in our body. And if they're missing, it disrupts our health and affects virtually everything about not only our health, but disease and the quality of our life.
Absolutely. You know, the first microbe I chose to play with was Lactobacillus reuteri. And by sheer dumb luck, I think I chose the most important microbe of all. Mm-hmm. Not to say there aren't other, many, many other mm-hmm. important microbes, but I believe I chose one that has such an extravagant range of benefits that if you add them all up, smoother skin, restoration of youthful muscle, mm-hmm. increased libido, increased testosterone in males, mm-hmm. increase in vaginal moisture in elderly females, preservation of bone density, acceleration of healing, on and on and on. I don't think it's a stretch to say what we're end up doing, and we see this play out in people's faces and body shapes, is we're turning the clock back 10 or 20 years. I cringe to think mm-hmm. what life would be like for all of us if we didn't know this.
Boy, at this point, I totally agree. And I'm a newbie at this, but I may be on my seventh batch of L-reuteri-based yogurt, and I'm sticking largely to the SIBO yogurt with the L-gasteri and B coagulans. And I'm making large volumes of it. My wife keeps wanting to use that yogurt for all sorts of cooking, and I have to kind of protect my stock of it to make sure we don't get depleted. But I'm at that point where I start getting anxious if I don't have enough, because it's become such an important part of our health. And, you know, there's a popular song that talked about having friends in low places, and that seems to be appropriate here. We have some very important friends in low places, our GI tract. And in fact, the lower, the better. Your book emphasizes how we want our friends in the colon, which is like the last, you know, 4-6 feet of our gut. And they tend to want to creep upward to the small intestine. And that is undermining a lot of our health. And so many people that are listening right now have a problem with bacteria getting into the small intestine, often abbreviated SIBO. And could you tell us more about that and just how common that is?
You know, until a few years ago, I thought it was rare. Mm-hmm. I thought it was rare to have this issue called, as you point out, SIBO or small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, because I didn't look for it. Mm-hmm. Well, several things changed my view on all this. One was the emergence of a consumer product, which I honestly keep right in my desk here. Here it is. The AIRE, A-I-R-E device. I have no relationship with the company. Mm-hmm. I know the founder, mm-hmm. Dr. Angus Shore, a PhD engineer in Dublin, Ireland. Mm-hmm. And he invented this, but he didn't fully understand what he invented. So I called him up. I said, Angus, he thought it was a device for people with irritable bowel syndrome and intolerance to FODMAPs, mm-hmm. fibers and sugars. Well, I called him. I said, Angus, no. This is a mapping device. Said, ah, yes. It's a mapping device to tell you where microbes are living in the human GI tract. Mm-hmm. Well, I talked about this. Thousands of people did it. And to my great surprise, it was everywhere. People are testing positive. Now,
wow.
You might argue, well, maybe the device, maybe the concept is flawed. That is, we're measuring hydrogen gas in the breath because microbes produce hydrogen gas, but we do not. Well, but I saw this play out. We eradicate the problem. We push microbes down from the 24 feet of small intestine back to the colon, and they normalize their measurements for hydrogen gas with the air device. And they say things like, my weight loss plateau finally gave way. My hemoglobin A1C that I reduced from 10 to 6.2 with your diet is now 4.8.
Wow.
Or all sorts of other things. My eczema finally went away. My rosacea is finally gone. I'm off all the drugs. My rheumatoid arthritis, I'm off that. I'm now off the prednisone and naproxen and biologic. So I saw accompanying this normalization of breath hydrogen gas, a clinical evidence that this is, now we need to do a formal clinical trial. My limitation is funding for clinical trials because I'm not pharma. I don't have a research budget of $3 billion.
Exactly.
So the last two clinical trials we performed cost us a lot of money and depleted my funds. But I'd like to do that study because I think what we have stumbled on is a way to use microbes to push back SIBO. But so that was one thing that told me that this was not an uncommon thing. The other thing is, if we go back through the existing scientific literature already published, and we look at these studies, in condition X blank, what proportion of people test positive for SIBO by hydrogen gas usually? And so let's take obesity. In the 115 million Americans with obesity, what proportion will test positive? Well, the evidence suggests 50%. Well, that's 50 some million people right there. How about the 60 to 70 million people with irritable bowel syndrome? What proportion tests positive? Well, it varies from study to study, but about 31%. So that's about, what is that? Another 18 to 20 million people go through depression, anxiety, rosacea, psoriasis, eczema, rheumatoid arthritis, cognitive decline, Parkinson's disease, autoimmune diseases. You can easily easily exceed 100 million, I think more towards 150 million. We're talking about every other person in this country. It's probably the largest epidemic ever in the history of mankind. And if all you do, say, for rheumatoid arthritis is give a person a biologic and naproxen and prednisone, you've done nothing to address the underlying driver, which is, in this case, in many other conditions, a disrupted microbiome, in this case, colonization of the small intestine with fecal microbes where they don't belong.
And when that happens, what are the problems that occur when we have, you know, at first blush, some people might think, well, what's the big deal if they're just getting into the small intestine? Can you explain a little bit about how that causes damage to the body, the endotoxins and the leaky gut issues?
So, you know, the alternative health community has been talking about gut leak for many years, but it finally got validated formally with science in 2007, originally by a Belgian group and corroborated since many, many times. So the small intestine, the 24 feet of small intestine, duodenum, jejunum, ileum, is by design very permeable. That's where you absorb nutrients, of course, like amino acids and vitamins and minerals. So it's meant to be permeable, unlike the colon, which is relatively impermeable. So the small intestine is very permeable, but when fecal microbes are allowed, these are microbes like E. coli and Salmonella and Campylobacter, fecal microbes, which by the way are also the cause of many instances of food poisoning, fecal microbial contamination of food. So when those fecal microbes invade the small intestine, so trillions of microbes live for a very short time. They live for hours, not for years or decades. So there's huge turnover of trillions of microbes in the 24 feet of small intestine. When they die, as you point out, they release a toxin, so-called lipopolysaccharide endotoxin. And when that endotoxin enters the bloodstream, that's called endotoxemia. And that's how microbes in the GI tract in small intestine can be experienced as depression or anxiety in the brain, or as rosacea or psoriasis on the skin, or as muscle pain or joint pain, like fibromyalgia, rheumatoid arthritis. So, or as weight gain or high blood sugar in someone who's obese or a type 2 diabetic. So what we really have to do is re-examine, reconsider virtually all of human health in light of the contribution of bacteria, of microbes in the GI tract.
It's quite profound that the lack of key bacteria could be contributing to that. And one of the brilliant things that you came up with and in part stumbled across was the fact that these two strains, L. reuteri and L. gasseri, and I believe that you consider those to be the key ones that we need to repopulate the small intestine to drive out the bacteria that we don't want.
Well, I asked this question. What if you and I went to the store and bought a commercial probiotic right off the shelf? What's the likelihood it would push back this colonization of the small intestine with fecal
microbes?
Might reduce the bloating, might cut back in your diarrhea. That's about it. Mm-hmm. It won't get rid of that infestation of the small intestine. So I asked this question. What if we chose species and strains that are known to colonize the small intestine? Most probiotic species do not do that. They colonize the colon or they pass right through and you poop it out. Mm-hmm. What if we chose species and strains that colonize the small intestine and produce what are called bacteriocins? These are natural antibiotics effective against fecal microbes. So nature has provided us with microbes that kill off fecal microbes. So we restore three of them, as you point out, a strain of Lactobacillus reuteri, Lactobacillus gasseri. Those two colonize upper GI tract and produce bacteriocins, very potent bacteriocins. And the last one, the Bacillus coagulans, it's a spore-forming microbe. You take it as a spore, like a seed for a plant, and it sporulates or germinates in the small intestine and then releases its own collection of bacteriocins. And we ferment them as a yogurt. It's not yogurt, of course. It looks and smells like yogurt, but it's not anything like the stuff you buy in the store, so you cannot buy this in a store. You make it yourself. It's very easy, as you know. Mm-hmm. I use my method of prolonged fermentation because we want really high bacterial counts. Mm-hmm. We don't want the meager few millions to billions, few billions of a commercial probiotic. We want hundreds of billions. So we increase the microbial count 100 or 1,000 fold by fermenting it for extended periods. I performed repeated flow cytometry measures on the yogurt, that is a laser-assisted microbial counting method, and we get about 300 billion microbes per half cup serving, and we consume it. And lo and behold, to my great surprise, I did not expect, I thought this was going to be a way to maybe reduce bloating. I'm seeing about 50 people who've done this so far, 90% have converted to hydrogen gas negative by the air device and had all those wonderful effects like breaking weight loss plateau, reduced blood sugar, reduced joint pain, et cetera, and using microbes. You know, if I said, well, the solution to SIBO is to remove your small bowel or some other catastrophic procedure, well, we would better be damn confident that's necessary. But what if the solution could be as something as benign and familiar as something that looks and smells like yogurt? Well, I don't think you have to be quite so confident. And the other thing is, I kind of regret calling it SIBO yogurt because it makes it seem like it's only helpful when you have SIBO, but it's really a restoration of keystone microbes, microbes that are very, very important for the rest of the microbiome that you've lost, because while they're very important, they're also very susceptible to common antibiotics like amoxicillin. So even if your mom gave it to you by your passage through the birth canal or breastfeeding or whatever, you likely lost it. And restoring it is fundamental to restoring gastrointestinal and other aspects of health. But it's just microbes.
And it's so fascinating when you contrast the traditional treatment for small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, which is often antibiotic-based or at least long courses of more natural products. This is far easier. And your idea of using the air testing also has the advantage of using a device that costs less than one SIBO test. One can actually track their progress every day of how they're doing. And it's just a brilliant concept. And the Air 2 device is a game changer in and of itself. But the yogurt is so powerful. And I did want to ask you, I can't think of a reason why I would ever want to stop consuming it, because you see the benefits of increased muscle strength and mass, and you're feeling better, you're sleeping better, your skin's better. Who would want to stop?
I agree. Though people do ask, can I just take it for maybe a week and stop? And it colonizes the, that's one of the fundamental problems we have. We don't, so if mom gave it to you, it would last for a lifetime, barring your exposure to antibiotics and glyphosate and other things. If you take it as the yogurt or as a probiotic, it only colonizes you for maybe a couple of weeks tops. Why? Why the difference? Well, no one knows for a fact, but it's probably because what we don't yet know is what is the community or consortium or guild, the microbiologists like to say, that is necessary to sustain the presence of reuteri. So maybe in 5 years or whatever, I'll say, okay, here, what we really do is restore reuteri with these five or six other microbial species, and it will take up residence forever. But we don't have that knowledge yet.
The super gut keystone yogurt, if I try to avoid the word SIBO, has those three wonderful bacteria in it. You also mentioned that there's some other products like the sugar shift product that can be used to help lower blood sugar even more. Could you comment on that? I thought that was a brilliant concept.
Yeah, my friends, Martha Carlin and Dr. Raul Cano, a 40-year academic microbiologist, formulated this thing called sugar shift based on their analysis of metabolites produced by, so microbes are just like people. We don't live by ourselves in isolation. We have friends, neighbors, and co-workers and communities. Microbes are the same, and they communicate via metabolites. And so they created this thing called sugar shift because they put in species such as their strain of Lactobacillus plantarum and Leuconostoc mesenteroides, that consume sugars like fructose, sucrose, and glucose. And Martha's original motivation was that when these collection of microbes consumes those sugars, it converts it to mannitol, which is a sugar that we cannot digest, but crosses the brain and based on preliminary evidence, dissolves remarkably the alpha-synuclein proteins that accumulate in people with Parkinson's disease, because Martha's interest. I love people who have skin in the game, and Martha has skin in the game. Her husband has Parkinson's disease, and she knows that the solutions, the conventional solutions for Parkinson's disease are not solutions. They do not slow progression of the disease. You end up with impairment, gait impairment, motor impairment, and dementia, and you can't stop it with drugs like L-DOPA. Well, she's seen, they had not yet performed a clinical trial. They're constrained by the same issues I have, and that is funding for our studies. And she's not yet performed a human clinical trial, but she is seeing partial remission in people with Parkinson's. Her husband went from requiring a walker to get around to walking freely.
Wow.
Not cured, but she's seeing some of the phenomena reverse. And so they came up with this collection of microbes called sugar shift because it consumes sugars in the intestinal tract. We performed an informal trial in 20 people, non-diabetics, and reduced fasting glucose, fingerstick glucose in the morning, of 9.8 milligrams per deciliter, which in a non-diabetic is a huge effect on a par with prescription medications. But it's not a medication, therefore has no side effects. There's no effect like, you know, liver problems or opportunistic infections. And it seems to also shrink waist circumference and reduce inflammatory phenomena. Raul Cano performed a clinical trial with that formulation in 60 people, and they saw just short of 100% reduction in serum endotoxemia,
which
is almost unbelievable. So almost complete. Now, it doesn't, that doesn't necessarily mean it corrected the SIBO or colonic dysbiosis that caused it, but at least we know we have a method to eradicate a lot of the phenomena associated with those disruptions.
And you have the opportunity to add all sorts of different probiotics, and It was a brilliant idea to come up with using specific strains of bacteria, and rather than just taking the capsule, growing the numbers to dramatically greater amounts and then ingesting it as food. So it actually populates your mouth, your esophagus, your stomach, the small intestine. And that's a game changer. Previously, we've been basically taking a capsule that relies on the acid in the stomach to break it down. And then some of it might stay in the small intestine, but by consuming some yogurt every day with these good bacteria in it, with the bacteriocins that help drive out the bad, it really appears to transform the GI tract to a significantly healthy place that we can maintain.
You know, I first started thinking about this, looking at some studies, that very elegant work that came out of MIT, mm-hmm. Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And this was a cancer group, and they were working with Rotary because they were interested in the anti-cancer effects, particularly colon cancer.
That's interesting.
They gave it to mice to look at these cancer questions, and they noticed that the mice changed. They saw their fur, for instance, become, in their words, rich and luxuriant. So they asked, what is going on here? They shaved the mice and watched the hair grow back twice as fast as usual. They inflicted wounds on their skin, saw their healing time cut in half. They studied these animals further. They saw that there was a dramatic rise, a 300% rise in the hormone oxytocin, which, by the way, is my primary interest here. Mm-hmm. Because when we experience, as the mice do, a rise in oxytocin, it makes you more generous. It makes you friendlier. It makes you like other people. It reduces social anxiety in social situations. And my favorite, it causes you to accept the opinions of other people, even if you disagree. So think about that. If we've all lost Rotary, thereby responsible for a surge in oxytocin, and thereby there's been a societal loss of both Rotary and oxytocin, during a period of record social isolation, pre-pandemic, record suicide, 35% increase between 2005 and 2015, higher with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Half of all marriages end in divorce, and the rise of narcissistic behavior. This is not my speculation. To my great surprise, the psychological community has been documenting formally features of narcissistic behavior since 1963, and the curve, the rise of narcissistic behavior, is a 45-degree angle upward.
Wow.
And so this is all happening around us. Well, I'm not so silly as to suggest this microbe is the sole cause, mm-hmm. but it's one thing we can do something about.
Right.
And it comes in the form, as you point out, of something that looks and smells like yogurt.
Yeah, who would have ever thought that we could solve so many problems with something so simple? And I love simple, powerful levers that we can flip that really makes a big difference in our health. And this really does that. And, you know, you've mentioned that, you know, libido often improves. People find themselves just overall feeling calmer. And I've had staff members say that when they've traveled and haven't had any, that they find a difference in their mood, that they kind of notice it dropping a little bit, and they don't want to be without it for that reason.
You know, I believe it makes your relationships better because mm-hmm. it increases the intensity of love and affection, appreciation for other people. So it's not just about gut health. It is. Mm-hmm. It's not just about preventing dementia or rheumatoid arthritis or irritable bowel syndrome. It's also, I don't think it's a stretch to say it makes us better human beings as well.
The inflammatory bowel conditions, I would love to see more studies and reports done on all the specific diseases that seem to be related to this. The fatty liver, the ulcerative colitis, the Crohn's disease, all the neurodegenerative diseases, cancer, bone loss, as you've mentioned in your book, that one of the keystone strains, the L-reuteri, is associated with bone health. In fact, that's one of the products that, I think it's Oz Fortis, is one of the names of the BioGaio products that actually contain the L-reuteri that has been shown to reduce bone loss by 50%, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. So a clinical trial in elderly females, 75 to 80 years old, placebo versus 10 billion mm-hmm. counts of the BioGaia Os Fortis product, which is the 6475 strain. And there was, yes, 50% less bone loss. Now, that's just one thing. It's just a micro.
Right.
You can do other things. You can do a vitamin D. You can do strength training. You can do axial skeleton challenging exercise, all kinds of other things you can do also. But just this one microbe has, you know, if it has an effect on bone, it suggests that it has pretty profound body-wide effects.
Exactly. Exactly. And in fact, I should say that I jumped into the yogurt because of our limited time, and I want to make sure people know that that's how powerful it is. But you also cover all the things you want to eliminate from your diet, like grains, and get out the emulsifiers and make sure you optimize your vitamin D and do things to thicken the lining of your gut, like with the green tea with maybe clove added to it. And by doing all these things, we enhance the mucosal surface. So, and there's also some things that are needed in some individuals who have a really bad case of SIBO. They may need some natural products to actually get rid of some of the bacteria in addition to the SIBO yogurt. But I am wondering if they just need to give it more time. Do you have any feedback on that? Have you seen cases with really bad small intestinal bacterial overgrowth with obvious symptoms and positive tests where just using the yogurt, they've been able to reverse things?
Yes, many times. Mm-hmm. Though there, so people who say things like, "Well, I took antibiotics for 5 years."
Oh man, yeah.
For acne, mm-hmm. or some prophylactic issue, something like that. Mm-hmm. And these people start with all kinds of skin issues, depression, anxiety, autoimmune diseases. They start with a whole panel of health problems caused by the antibiotic exposure. Those people, I find, consume the SIBO yogurt and often have to stay on it for months. Now, there's no downside to this except the hassle of making yogurt, which is very easy. In fact, I encourage people. That's why I say I regret calling it SIBO yogurt, because what we're really doing is restoring lost species that are keystone or foundational. And so even if you eradicate your SIBO by taking the SIBO yogurt, maybe 4 weeks or maybe 3 months, continue it occasionally,
right,
2 or 3 times a week. And I think what we're seeing is a reduction in recurrences, because once you've had it, for unclear reasons, it loves to come back. And so continuing it on occasion seemed to be very effective, not to mention the other effects that you're talking about, the youth restoring effects, smoother mm-hmm. skin, restoration, youthful muscle, empathy, generosity, improved immune response, preservation, bone density. So, but those are mostly rotary effects. But there is value, I believe. Some people have chosen just to continue the rotary alone, and that seems to be pretty effective. This is informal, of course. We've not mm-hmm. done a comparative trial. Mm-hmm. But the rotary seems to be so important. We have had people who have eradicated their SIBO with the rotary alone, but it takes a long time. So if your aim is to rid yourself of SIBO quickly, I think the best bet is the 3-microbe, or at least the rotary and gastrite. But I have seen people, I think it reflects the power of this 1 microbe, its capacity for colonizing the small intestine and producing bacteria, so that microbe alone is so key to human life that you may experience benefits just with that.
I had never heard of L-rotari before I started reading your work, and I can't believe I missed the articles on it, because there are some amazing review articles on it just extolling all these amazing benefits that have been documented. But I suppose because there's not a lot of money in this, and it's really of limited availability so far in the United States, we haven't seen that much. But once you make your first batch of yogurt, you have the stock you can use to make your next batch. And I'm not handy in the kitchen, and I've been telling the folks that I see, I'm making the yogurt for our home. It really is doable. You can be busy and make this yogurt, and it really doesn't take a lot of time. If you really appreciate how important it is, boy, it is. It's one of the best investments you can make. I mean, who doesn't want to do something that helps your personal health? You feel better, and your family members are more understanding. Think about the benefits to a family interacting better because they're feeling more empathy and they're feeling more relaxed and they just feel better in general.
Absolutely, exactly right. People like their spouses better. They like their children better. They get along better with their coworkers.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. It really is a societal issue. It's restoring something that we've all lost, and I think has caused great friction in society. Mm. Not to say there wasn't friction before we lost rotary. Of course there was. But I think it's been amplified by the loss of this microbe. Now, that's 1 microbe. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's 3 others mm-hmm. or 7 others. We don't know. But that's what's happening with this deciphering the implications of the microbe. I have a tennis-playing daughter, for instance. She's a pro tennis player. Mm-hmm. And she had 2 concussions and couldn't play. For over a year, she lost her ranking. And when she goes back, and if she wants to play all the big events, she has to now qualify. And what that means is she has to play every day, not the every other day of the main draw. Mm. And so the qualifying rounds are very difficult because these ladies hit hard, and 3 hours in a 90-degree sun, they're sore, they're ache. Then they have to do it again tomorrow. Well, one of the things I've asked her to do is I said, sweetie, make sure you get Bacillus coagulans because it reduces muscle injury and thereby accelerates your recovery. It doesn't block being sore, but it reduces it dramatically. So there's all kinds of things you can do like that. Gasserai, one of the components of the SIBO yogurt, has been shown now in two human clinical trials to shrink your waist. Now, this is with no change in diet, no exercise. Just get this microbe and you get up to about 2 inches, 2+ inches off your waist, just with a microbe.
Wow.
And there's many others like that where you can purposely. Now, after a while, you say, okay, enough. How many microbes can I ferment? Mm-hmm. So somewhere along the way, we've got to distill this all down to a more comprehensive way to restore all these microbes without having to ferment them as yogurt and have, you know, 22 fermentation projects on your counter. So right now, I don't know quite how to do that. Though the closest we come, by the way, to doing that is by consuming fermented foods. That is, so these microbes you and I are talking about are what I call body temperature fermenters. Mm-hmm. They require human body temperature. But there's also a wonderful collection of microbes that ferment at room temperature. Those are the microbes in sauerkraut, fermented sauerkraut, in kefirs, in kimchi, fermented veggies. And these are different species with wacky names like Leuconostoc mesenteroides, Pediococcus acidolacticae, Lactobacillus plantarum. Well, these ferment in your food. When you consume them, they pass right through. They don't colonize. Unlike Rotori gut, they don't colonize anything. They just pass right through. But in their passage through 30 feet of GI tract, they provide metabolites that cause a bloom in those other microbes, the really beneficial microbes like Fecalibacterium and Akkermansia, as well as Lactobacillus rotarii, et cetera. So if your listeners take one thing away besides rotarii, it's make sure you're getting lots and lots and lots of fermented food, just like your great-grandmother did. Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's probably an easy way to remember healthy eating is what would my great-grandmother want to eat and what were their practices. And fermented food was the way of preserving food back in the day. And when refrigeration came on board, we thought we were making a positive step forward by refrigerating, and it was fresh and it didn't have that smell. And we didn't realize the harm we were doing to our body by leaving out some of these beneficial organisms.
Absolutely. Refrigeration was a bane to health. It has its purposes, of course. But yeah, people are scared. They've forgotten what it means to ferment raw meat, for instance, or ferment cabbage. And these are incredibly powerful strategies to cultivate healthy. It's like throwing cow manure on your backyard garden. You're going to have big, juicy tomatoes and eggplant. If you don't, you might get something out of your garden, but you won't have a whole lot of you won't have a bounty. Same thing with fermented foods. That's the cow manure of your bowel flora garden.
Great, great. So in addition to prebiotics, the non-digestible fiber that can also feed these organisms, the importance of the fermented organisms to actually, through their metabolism, actually enhance the growth of these good organisms.
One of my favorites is something I call Saccharomyces boulardii sparkling juice. Mm-hmm. So it's very simple. You take a commercial probiotic called FloraStore, which is that microbe. You put it in any volume of juice, provided it has no preservatives like potassium sorbate or sodium benzoate. And then you cap it lightly because it's going to produce a huge amount of carbon dioxide. If you cap it tight, it's going to explode and make a mess of your kitchen. And you let it sit in your kitchen counter for, I use 60 hours because I want no sugar remaining. Mm-hmm. And so I make, for instance, a mango passion fruit juice. And at the end of 60 hours on your kitchen counter, you've got mango passion fruit soda.
Wow.
And it has this microbe. You can also add other microbes too, but you want to make sure they're room temperature fermenting microbes. And you have this delicious soda that is probably one of the most important things people can do to preserve their microbiome during a course of antibiotics, as well as other times. And it's delicious. It tastes like soda. If you do cranberry, you'll have cranberry soda. It's delicious.
And exactly. And that particular strain, the Saccharomyces boulardii, is an anti-yeast yeast. It helps eat up the yeast. And we often help people get rid of candida and other problems when they come to see us. And this is a great tool to actually ferment the juices to make that happen. You have a list of things that disrupt the gut health. And, you know, you talk about, in addition to some obvious things we've known about, like, you know, non-steroidal medications and alcohol, there's other things that we often consume that throw off our gut. Could you share some of those?
Yeah, a long list that we've all been exposed to, right? Mm-hmm. Stomach acid blocking drugs, like the PPIs, like Prilosec, Protonix, mm-hmm. and Acefax, the H2 blockers, like ranitidine, cimetidine. Glyphosate, the active ingredient in the herbicide Roundup, which is an herbicide, of course, but it's also an antibiotic that is effective in killing off beneficial microbes, ineffective at killing off fecal microbes. So in there's probably a very important lesson. Chlorinated drinking water, which dissolves the mucus lining of your GI tract. Emulsifying agents like polysorbate 80, carboxymethylcellulose, carrageenan emulsifies, dissolves your mucus barrier and thereby changes the composition of microbes. Synthetic sweeteners, aspartame, neotame, acesulfame, saccharin, sucralose, all share this effect on disrupting the GI microbiome. Mm-hmm. There's probably a lot more things, you know, with regards to drugs, for instance. The FDA does not require, I hope they change the policy in the future. I think they will. But they don't require a drug company to say, we tested microbiome analyses, baseline and follow-up on the drug to show what this drug does to the microbiome. That is not a requirement now. So we probably have hundreds, if not thousands, of commonly prescribed drugs beyond antibiotics that have major disruptive effects on the GI microbiome. But we don't know which ones yet because it's never been tested.
Exactly. Yeah, for the longest time, we had no idea why the zero calorie sweeteners caused weight gain until somebody looked at the microbiome changes. And now we realize that that's exactly why it causes weight gain. We get an unhealthy gut.
Exactly. People who drink diet colas are more overweight, more likely to be diabetic than people who drink sugared. Well, of course, people should not here drink sugared cola, of course, but they're both bad. Mm-hmm. But the synthetic sweetener ones are. And now we have, thankfully, in response to that, commercial manufacturers and some of the science have brought us natural sweeteners that seem to have beneficial effects, like allulose, which reduces insulin, blood glucose, and caused you to experience a loss of subcutaneous fat.
It's amazing how many things that are part of our day-to-day life that we don't even think about. You brought it up in the book, Super Wheat Belly, that wheat was changed with good motives, but the change in the wheat has created this frankenfood that's really devastated our health. Could you just make a comment or two? I know that's a big topic about how we changed wheat.
Yeah. So we all think of wheat as this 4.5-5 foot tall plant, amber waves of grain, all that business. Mm-hmm. Well, no, it's an 18 inch tall, thick stalked, large seed, long seed head creation in a genetics laboratory, essentially. It's very different. As you say, it was not done because they're evil. It was done because they wanted to feed the hungry of the world. And it worked. Yield per acre increased 4 to 8 fold. The Nobel Prize for Peace was given to the developer who invented this. And now it's virtually all wheat in the world. Now, if it's very different in appearance, it's also very different biochemically. Mm-hmm. And they inadvertently, unintentionally amplified many of the toxic effects of many of the proteins in wheat. And so, but of course, couple that with dietary advice to consume more healthy whole grains, and they've created an equation to destroy the health and weight control of Americans.
It is, you know, avoiding wheat, a lot of people think of as being hard, but of course it's not. But of course, there's a lot of problems you can get into if you just start buying the gluten-free type of products. You want to eat real food, right? You want to actually be consuming what's healthy, the outside of the grocery store, of eating organic as much as possible. I did want to mention that you've come up with a simple recipe for making this dairy product using organic half and half. And I mean, again, like I said, even I can do this. It's just, you know, sous vide, 106 degrees. You put it in a water bath. You set it for 36 hours. You cover it up and you walk away. One little tip is that you don't want to start it in the middle of the afternoon because then it's ready in the middle of the night. But And the first batch tends to be not so great in terms of it not setting well. So you, some people have gotten discouraged when, if they don't know that, thinking that it's not turning out well, whereas the batch you make from that comes out thick and beautiful. I mean, it really looks like what you would buy in the store as far as being thick and creamy.
I don't know why that is. We call that the first batch effect. Mm-hmm. It tends to be separate, separates into curds and whey, solid and liquid. And then, as you point out, subsequent batches made from a little of the prior batch, curds or whey, is much more thick and uniform. Don't know why. Hmm. But yeah, it frustrates some people. So one way around that is to make a small batch your mm-hmm. first go, and then make your usual size batch in subsequent batches. But it should be enjoyed. Add some blueberries, add some chia seeds or whatever. And it's a little tart, a little sour, intentionally. So that prolonged fermentation, we use 36 hours. My rationale, by the way, is Reuteri doubles. They don't have sex. There's no male and female microbes. They mm-hmm. just reproduce themselves. One becomes two, two becomes four. Well, Reuteri reproduce at about 3 hours at human body temperature. So if we did like a factory and we let it go for 6 hours, you'd have almost nothing. We let it go for 36 hours, 12 doublings. And by the way, I have performed counts on longer fermentation, like 48 hours, and it seems to plateau at about 36 hours. It must use up its resources, or there's too much competition with other microbes, and you start to get more dead microbes mm-hmm. after 36 hours. So I picked 36 hours because I thought it sounded good, but it turned out to be just right. And by flow cytometry, that's the maximum count, at least in the current mixture that we use. And by the way, as you point out, I use organic half and half. I don't care about the fat. Fat and calories, as you know, do not matter. Mm-hmm. Fat, calories do not matter. Cut calories, you set yourself up for problems long term. Cut fat, likewise. So we reject dietary guidelines. We never reduce calories, never limit fat. And so we use half and half, 18% fat. And it's delicious.
Do you have any information on heart health in this approach? Because as a cardiologist, obviously you think about this on a daily basis. But if we can reduce inflammation, reduce endotoxemia, I would be expecting a significant drop in heart disease. Any comments on that?
Oh, you put your finger on such a crucial area. I wish I had the funding to do a lot more work. Mm. But my prediction is the restoration of Reuteri and thereby reduction of endotoxemia has huge implications for providing better solutions to congestive heart failure, cardiomyopathies, heart muscle diseases, coronary disease, atrial fibrillation, ventricular arrhythmias, and numerous other heart conditions. That science is such in its infancy. There are suggestions, some evidence to suggest, for instance, that atrial fibrillation, very common, and coronary disease are to a large degree driven by endotoxemia. So take all the statin drugs, take all the beta blockers mm-hmm. and warfarin, and yet you've not addressed mm-hmm. one of the driving features, that is SIBO and endotoxemia. So I'm very excited what the future holds for heart health.
We have a CT to do heart scans in our office, and it'd be very interesting to see how the results of those who really embrace this lifestyle, what we see with the heart scans, and hopefully we'll have some feedback for you in the not too distant future.
The last woman I talked to in my community who's doing this dropped her heart scan score, I believe, from 584 to 270, something like that.
Wow.
We're seeing dramatic regression. Now, that's calcium. People say, we don't care about calcium. We just care about soft plaque. Well, you can see, as you know, on a CT heart, you can see the contours of soft plaque, and you'll mm-hmm. see dramatic shrinkage of the total plaque. So we're seeing regression. And now, it's not just SIBO and endotoxemia. It's also vitamin D. Right. And grain elimination as causes of VLDL and small mm-hmm. LDL, some other things too. But I think we're getting to the point where we can now regress coronary atherosclerosis.
There's so many things that people try to do to get healthy that are very difficult and expensive. This is not. This is so accessible. And because you're able to take the probiotic and multiply them, you don't wind up running through your probiotics very fast. And that's a huge cost saving.
You know, I'm very sensitive to cost. I grew up very poor. Mm. One bedroom house, single mom, two sisters. Living on welfare until mm-hmm. I was a teenager. So I'm very sensitive to the fact that this is not meant to be a program for the rich. It's meant to be accessible for everybody. And as you point out, it's very, and once you pay for those microbes. There's a few dollars. You never have to buy them again. You do have to buy your organic half and half. Mm-hmm. And you may have to invest in a yogurt maker or a sous vide or an instant pot or something to keep it at human body temperature. Once you made that initial investment, you're set for life. And this is true for all fermented foods.
Now, how many batches can you use before you restart from a new batch? Because I'm tempted to just keep using it, but it, you know, for my home use. But I know, I think you've said 4 or 5 times.
Well, one of the uncertainties, if it's a single microbial species like Rotari, you can mm-hmm. do it thousands and thousands of times.
Wow.
As long as you're not doing goofy things like, you know, introducing fecal microbes or something like that. As long as you're not doing that, you can do it thousands of times. That's how they do it in commercial production in vats. They do it thousands of times, and they do very tight quality control measurements to make sure it remains uncontaminated. But you can do it thousands of times. The uncertainty comes when you combine microbes, like in the SIBO yogurt, in this case, 3 microbes. It's like your backyard garden. If you mm-hmm. planted zucchini and tomatoes and squash and watermelon potatoes, the zucchini will take over after a while.
Right. Very aggressive. Right. Good point.
The same thing happened with microbes. So we have not yet. That requires not just flow cytometry, which is a very inexpensive method. It also requires DNA analyses to distinguish the different microbes. So we'll likely do that near future. It's a little costly to do that, but we'll likely do that, like maybe at batch 10, and see if they remain kind of equivalent. We just don't
okay.
know.
Okay. All right. So it may be that it starts off where we start changing the ratio, and the L. reuteri might be less because the other strains are growing faster down the road. And so we're not, mm-hmm. may not get the same beneficial effect, but we just don't know.
Just don't know yet.
Okay.
So I tell people every so often, I don't know, at batch 6 or 7, whatever, re-inoculate or start from scratch. Or you could always ferment them independently. Mm-hmm. That is one microbe in each batch. And that way you know you have full counts. But until we do a formal analysis, we just don't know.
That's fascinating. Any other things that you're looking forward to doing in the near future? You're such a wealth of great ideas.
If we got a minute, I'll tell you about, we did a small human clinical trial. I did it for skin because the ladies go berserk over the skin effects. They lose their wrinkles and they get moisture and they just love it because they look 10, 20 years younger. Mm-hmm. But we measured dermal thickness using high resolution skin ultrasound. So if you take just collagen, for instance, you get about a 6 to 7% increase in dermal thickness.
Wow.
Ladies put things on topically, but the real key to skin health is orally mm-hmm. because it affects the dermis beneath right. the surface. Well, we did our formulation and we got a 15% increase in dermal thickness. So an unprecedented increase.
Wow.
We also measured waist circumference just because it's free mm-hmm. and we're very budget conscious. We're not pharma. And there was an average of just short of 3 inches reduction in waist circumference, as much as 8.5 inches. Now, we asked the ladies, don't change your diet. Don't change your exercise program. These are large ladies. Mm-hmm. And they lost huge amounts of abdominal fat. Even more surprising, they lost almost no weight, 1/3 of a pound. Well, what does that mean? Well, consistent with the animal evidence and my large anecdotal evidence, I believe what's happening is there's a return of youthful muscle. We're seeing people show more, not muscle like Arnold Schwarzenegger muscle. We're talking about youthful muscle like when you're 25. So we need to explore that. I'd like to do a DEXA or bioimpedance study where we quantify increased muscle. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is in a time where people are taking the GLP-1 agonists, of course, like Wegovy and Ozempic, and they're losing huge amounts of
yes.
muscle. If you lose 40 pounds, 10 pounds of that or more mm-hmm. is muscle, which guarantees you will regain the weight, mostly as fat. And losing that much muscle means you've resigned yourself to loss of independence, difficulty walking upstairs, getting in and out of your car, a drop in your control over blood pressure, blood sugar, and weight. So you're resigning yourself to health problems. I may have stumbled. I did not set out to change body composition, but stumbled on it in a skin trial. So we will do a follow-on study looking at body composition. But I believe what we've stumbled on, surely by accident, is a way to favorably alter body shape and composition.
This is tremendous, and I thank you so much for joining us today. And I do want to encourage all of our listeners to pick up a copy of your book, Super Gut, and as well as Wheat Belly and Undoctored. But this is really transformational. And if we all apply this, the world will be a better place. We'll be healthier. And I look forward to touching base with you in the future where we can catch up with some of the new things you've discovered.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure.
Thank you.
Physicians Preference Pharmacy, we understand that the quality of your compounded medications directly affects the way you feel, which is why we believe that your pharmacy should specialize in compounding medications while also delivering extraordinary hospitality and guest service. We believe that both patients and prescribers should accept nothing less than consistency and quality from their compounding pharmacy. This is why we've implemented some of the strictest quality standards in compounding, exceeding standard requirements, achieving PCAB accreditation, which is the Pharmacy Compounding Accreditation Board, an organization that sets the highest standards in compounding pharmacy regarding the safety, cleanliness, and quality of your compounded prescriptions. Because of our commitment to complete health and wellness, we are dedicated to making your medications free of lactose, parabens, artificial sweeteners, and any unnecessary dyes, binders, or fillers present in many other medications, offering you the cleanest products possible.
Information provided on this program is neither intended nor implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice and is not intended to replace the services of a physician, nor does it constitute a doctor-patient relationship. You should not use information from this radio program to diagnose or treat a health problem or disease without consulting with a qualified healthcare provider. If you have or suspect you have an urgent medical problem, promptly contact a professional healthcare provider or call 911. Dr. Hotze's Wellness Revolution advises you to always seek the advice of a physician or other qualified health provider prior to starting any new treatment or with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Any application of the recommendations from this program is at the listener's discretion.